The reading today is from Luke 19, verses 11 to 27. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you were a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." This is the word of the Lord.
You might want to have this a little bit higher than
yes,
me.
Please.
Yeah, right, sir. Well, let's pray for Harry. Loving God, we just give you thanks for this man, and we thank you for the word that you've imparted to him. Pray that he would know that it is that you have given it to him, and may you anoint his lips. Give him a heart that is open to you, and open our hearts as he speaks to us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Thank
you. Cool. I'll put this a bit higher. I had a little quick story to tell while the presentation was going, but I'll do it anyway. So I just wanted to let you all know how popular Emma is. Okay, it has no relevance to the story at all, but I thought I would share anyway. So usually I was thinking on my notes, it says intro myself. So I was going to say, "Hello everyone, my name's Harry, I'm the husband of Emma." But I realised I don't really need to say that, but I've realised that Emma's so popular that when I go to different churches now, because she's so popular, I introduce myself as Harry, and they're like, "Right, who are you?" I'll say, "Husband Emma," and they'll say, "Oh, right, okay, that's fine." And then they know who I am. But yeah, that was just irrelevant, but I thought I'd share anyway. So, what I'm talking about today, we have the parable of the 10 minas, and the title of today's talk is How to Live Our Lives as an Everyday Testimony in Expectance of the Coming Kingdom of God. It's a bit of a mouthful. If anyone can repeat that back to me, I'll give you 10 church points, and you can get some tea and coffee at the back with those points. Anyone? Hands up. See if you can repeat that. No one? Cool. No church points. So I'll say it again. To live our lives as an everyday testimony in expectance of the coming kingdom of God. So how it's going to be set out, as it says in really small writing, I'm going to give some context, some explanation, and a challenge at the end. And next slide. Awesome. So first thing I want to do was read the story the Harry way, if you didn't hear it properly the first time. So basically, there is a nobleman who has been called to another land to become king and receive his kingdom. And before he leaves, he tells his 10 servants with the minas, and minas, by the way, is already up, is 2 or 3 months out of 12 months' wage, something like that. So he's going to give these minas to each of his servants. And while he's away, he wants the servants to do business, which is what the word in the scripture is, to do business. Now, he's gone away, and they've gone and done business. And he's come back, and he comes to the servants, and he says, "Servants, what have you done with my minas that I've left you?" And the first one comes and says, "Well, I made your mina 10 more." And he was like, "Great, I'll give you 10 cities then." And he said to the next servant, the second servant, "What did you do with your mina?" He said, "Well, I made it 5 more." And he said, "Great, I'll give you 5 cities then." And he said to the third one, "What did you do?" Probably quite excited about how many minas he made. But he said, "Unfortunately, I didn't make any other minas. I know you as a hard man. You're getting me to work for you. You could have done it yourself," and just made some excuses. And he said, "I kept it under a cloth to keep it safe so that when you come back, I can just give it back to you." Which sounds like a pretty safe idea. If you don't know what you're doing, you just hide it and then give it back to them and be like, "Sorry, I didn't know what I was doing." But the king who had come back was pretty annoyed. He said, "You wicked, lazy servant, what you've done is awful," and tells him off a little bit. And he brings him and the other servants and punishes them. We're not going to talk about the punishment. We're going to talk about the good stuff today. So why did Jesus tell this story? I believe this piece of scripture is both a parable and a prophecy. So back when Jesus told it, I would have assumed it was a prophecy, as he was talking about himself as a king that is going to go away and come back and see what his servants have done with the gifts. But I think now it's more of a parable, as we can understand more what Jesus is saying, and we're able to understand what he wants to do with the gifts that he's left us while he's away. Now, what is the general message behind the 3 points that I got? Was keep busy, use God's gifts, and be obedient. So, next slide, let's see why. So we've done our context already, that was quick. We're on our explanation. Now, I said in the scripture that it talks a little bit about doing business. It says the king said to the servants to do business while I'm away, which I researched, and it comes back in Greek or Latin or some other language as pragmatuomai. Can everyone say pragmatuomai? Pragmatuomai. Which means, translated back as, to keep busy, to keep yourself occupied on a day-to-day basis. So what he was actually saying wasn't to go out and make a special task and make a project of all this money. He was actually saying, in your everyday life, just invest in these gifts and we'll see what comes back. It was quite chill, actually. Now, what I thought about this is, how do we keep busy in Christ? So, as you do, I didn't know the answer, so I typed it in Google. And typed in, how do we keep busy in Christ? Click. And all of the answers that come up, well, all the searches that come up were actually, how do I fit God into my busy schedule? Which I instantly thought, in my humble opinion, that I was writing the right question and everyone else was writing the wrong question. For it isn't, I realized it isn't, how do we fit God into our busy life? How do we fit God into our busy schedule? But actually, how do we keep busy in Christ? How do we? It's not about busyness and God in different separate occasions, but how do I bring those two together? And the answer to that question is, how did the servants keep busy? Now, they were obedient to what the king asked of them using the gifts that they were given. And that's how we should, too, keep busy in Christ. And slide 3. That's pretty good. Still an explanation. Using God's gifts. Now, Jesus spoke the parable knowing he was the nobleman going away to receive his kingdom. I believe that we're in a point of time where Jesus has gone. He's received his kingdom. He's now king. And he's left his spirit with us and his gifts. And he's now on his way back. He's now ready to come. Well, I'm not sure whether he's ready. I don't know that. But he is on his way back. And the gift he has left us while he has gone aren't limited to, but are, or might be, time, money, people, advice. So there might be physical things. Now, I know Emma is a physical gift of mine, but also there are some spiritual gifts that we can't see physically. For example, Jesus' attributes or some of the fruits of the Spirit that God can give us as spiritual gifts. Now, the ones that I want to focus on today are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in reference to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. And next slide. Oh, you've already done next slide. And back a slide. Cool. Better than me. So the seven gifts are referred to as wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, which is, I was saying it wrong earlier, it's piety, but it's piety, and fear of the Lord. Now, these gifts are given to us when we choose to accept the Spirit in our lives. I want to just quickly run through what each of these means so we can discern what gifts we might need to work on individually and maybe as a church too. So the first one we're going to go through is wisdom. Now, I've written exactly what I'm saying on the PowerPoint so that you can read along with me and not stare at me so I feel nervous. So we have wisdom. Now, through wisdom, we come to value properly those things which we believe through faith. The truths of Christian belief are more important than the things of this world, and wisdom helps us choose faith over the things of the world. That is number one. Number two is understanding. Understanding is the second gift of the Holy Spirit, and people sometimes have a hard time understanding, no pun intended, how it differs from wisdom. While wisdom is a desire to contemplate the things of God, understanding allows us to grasp, at least in a limited way, the very essence of the truths of our faith. Through understanding, we gain an assurance about our beliefs that moves beyond faith. Our next one, counsel. Counsel, the third gift of the Holy Spirit, is the perfection of cautiousness. Cautiousness can be practiced by anyone, but counsel is supernatural. Through this gift of the Holy Spirit, we are able to judge how best to act almost by intuition. Because of the gift of counsel, Christians need not to fear to stand up for the truths of the faith, because the Holy Spirit will guide us in defending those truths. Then we have fortitude. Fortitude is ranked as the fourth gift of the Holy Spirit because it gives us the strength to follow through on the actions suggested by the gift of counsel. While fortitude is sometimes called courage, it goes beyond what we normally think of as courage. Fortitude is the determination of courage. A good example of this is how Jesus followed through with his courage and bravery to be determined in when choosing to die on the cross. I think there's only a couple more, so don't fall asleep yet. We have knowledge. The fifth gift of the Holy Spirit, knowledge, is often confused with both wisdom and understanding. Like wisdom, knowledge is the perfection of faith, but whereas wisdom gives us the desire to judge all things according to the truths of the Christian faith, knowledge is the actual ability to do so. Like counsel, it is aimed at our actions in this life. In a limited way, knowledge allows us to see the circumstances of our life the way that God sees them. Through this gift of the Holy Spirit, we can determine God's purpose for our lives and live them accordingly. And piety. Piety is the perfection of the doings of religion. While we tend to think of religion today as the physical display of our faith, it really means the willingness to worship and to serve God. Piety takes that willingness beyond a sense of duty so that we desire to worship God and to serve him out of love, the way that we desire to honour our parents and do what they wish. And lastly, fear of the Lord. The final gift, the fear of God, is most misunderstood. We think of fear and hope as opposites, but the fear of the Lord confirms them both as linked. This gift of the Holy Spirit gives us desire not to offend God, as well as the certainty that God will supply us the grace that we need in order to keep from offending him. Our desire not to offend God is more than simply a sense of duty. Like piety, the fear of the Lord arises out of love. Awesome. Now, the gifts that I've spoken about today are to be used in our everyday lives and to be invested in outwardly with others and for others, and inwardly in reflection to how we can become more like Christ. And to live an everyday testimony is to use the gifts given to us to shine our light that we might prove our faith. So that was keep busy, using God's gifts, and now we're on be obedient. If we move on to the next one, be obedient. Awesome. Now, the story describes a nobleman going to gather his right as king and kingdom, and he asks his servants to be obedient in his call while he was away. We are the servants. I believe that we are the servants meant to be obedient to his everyday call. Just like I said earlier, our call is not to have a busy life and then God, but to busy our lives for God and with God, to busy our lives with our obedience to him. Now, I'm going to link it back to my title. So it was to live every day as a testimony in expectance of the coming kingdom of God. Now, before we move on to the challenge, I just want to break this title down so that we all understand where we're at. So we have our first one, to live every day. This is a call to us to keep busy, to do business. It's not a special task or a project. So to live every day as a testimony. A testimony means to share things and do things that prove our faith. The reason why I chose the word testimony is because the story uses the number 10 for how many servants there are. And in the Bible, the number 10 signifies testimony. And also, I like the word testimony because it's a cool word. And so we've got to live every day as a testimony. In expectance, this is the part where we understand that urgence, that real urgence of living every day as a testimony, that we know we're expecting a call soon from God, that he's going to come back. So we need to be urgent about this. And the final bit of the coming kingdom of God. Now, this isn't just a story. This isn't just a king that is going to come back and give us a telling off because we didn't do what he asked. This is the king, and he's bringing his kingdom too. Now, I'm not here, next one. Now, I'm not here today to give you my opinion and tell you you need to keep busy, you need to stay obedient, use God's gifts. I wanted to challenge myself and others to link this back to the Bible, so I brought some of my own verses of scripture to link to keep busy, use God's gifts, and be obedient. So we have to keep busy. I chose Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, like I said, I'm not here to tell you what to do from my own opinion and tell you that you need to busy yourselves, but I am challenging myself and others to live as a sacrifice, as busying ourselves this way is true worship. Then we have use God's gifts. I've chosen Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, which says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I think this one is just brilliant. This is why I believe the king was so upset with the third servant, the one who did nothing with his gift. It's because he did the opposite. He did light a lamp and hide it under a bowl. Again, I'm challenging myself and others to let our light shine that others may see the gifts we possess so they might come to know Christ and receive those gifts too. And lastly, be obedient. I chose Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, which says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, every slave started with the same amount of minas. And so do we. I believe we start with the same amount of minas. Now, every believer has an equal opportunity to yield a good everyday testimony. Though life circumstances, spiritual gifts, and mission may vary, nevertheless, we all have the same access to the same God, the same Spirit, the same Word of God. Therefore, we must answer the same call to godliness. The test is whether we will obey this command as we do business, as we keep occupied and keep busy on earth. The believer who yields good testimony in this life proves we are worthy to be trusted with more, as was the first and second slave in the parable. And it doesn't end here. This is where we must have the fear of God. Jesus has gone, he's received his kingdom, his kingship, he's left us the gifts, and now he's on his way back. What servant will you be as an individual? What servant from the story will we be as a church? Will we be servant number one who fully busies his or her everyday life with God's call? Will we be servant number two who only gives half of his or her day to God's call and gives the rest of his or her day to their own desire? Or will Jesus come back and we say, oh, sorry, I did have your gifts, but I didn't share them and give them loads of excuses? I believe this parable is for today. It is a challenge. Are we going to keep busy and use God's gifts and be obedient? Thank you for listening.